KPCA LP, Petaluma, California. You were in SoCal, right?
Yes, SoCal, California.
Oh, well, welcome back, both of you.
Yeah.
You were working though, right?
I was working.
I was playing.
I played a little.
How was your drive down there?
Drive down there.
You're having
it was like 8 hours or something.
Seven.
You know what? I did a lot of stretching.
Okay.
And rather than laying on my back and sitting, I tried to do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And by the time I had to go down there, I was still a little bit of pain, but not so bad. So it was good.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, lifting things incorrectly to save a little time never makes sense. That was my problem.
No, it doesn't.
Leaning over something.
It's a safety tip today.
Yes, and after you get older, you realize that even more.
I wouldn't mind having a safety meeting myself.
Oh, actually, that's a good idea. Well, just in case of emergencies, what do we do? Safety meeting, lifting things.
You've never heard the term
safety meeting is code for stuff other than.
It's what we told our children when we were huddling in the garage.
I guess I missed that one.
Mom and Dad, you're going for a safety meeting.
Oh, I didn't know that. Have you ever heard that one?
I hadn't heard it quite put like that.
No, me neither.
I think I'm on the right radio program.
I think you probably are. As a matter of fact, what do you do for the marijuana industry?
I've worked in the regulated cannabis industry for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Helping folks get permits, aligning their businesses with kind of, modern-day real business.
Yeah.
Most folks were burning their receipts at one point, not too long ago. I try to work with the most above board operators and folks that are really working hard to be a part of the community and do all the rules and regulations the right way, and deliver high quality product to patients and consumers as well. I just had a dispensary application go into Kenwood on Wednesday night in front of their Sonoma Valley Citizens Advisory Committee. They want to locate in a little marketplace there in Kenwood. And, they've had traffic issues in the valley,
right.
Especially on the big winery event weekends where you have, 20 or 50 wineries participating in these big events where there's lots of people coming from outside. So a lot of the comments from the commission were around that piece. The great news about this in particular operator, his name is David Scott, lives in Sebastopol. Been, Sonoma County, born and raised type person. He was really into community outreach. He went and knocked on 200 some plus doors in Kenwood himself. Has a team of people. He's hired me to come in and help him as a friend and colleague. He's just really going out there. We offered at least to meet with all the advisory commission members. There's 11 of them that vote, and then there's like six or seven that are kind of ambassadors or whatever you want to call them, that come
right.
in. And the next step, we got a 9-2 vote in favor, which was very good. We're very happy about that. And our next step is to go in front of the planning commission of the county.
Okay.
This will be a dispensary operation, so it's retail. So there's a whole nother level of bureaucracy involved to get your approvals, plus security and whatnot. So
have you been working with anybody in Petaluma to in Petaluma, open up some dispensaries.
Well, I think a lot of us have been watching Petaluma for a long time.
Yes, we have.
And I don't know has something moved or shifted or.
We've had a couple of new council members come on board that look promising, whereas we didn't have that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the ordinance itself is still in the same space?
Yes.
There's a limited delivery is what I recall.
Yeah, two delivery services, and I believe one's been approved. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Yes.
And then there's also a shop that opened up like just outside of Petaluma. I think it's by appointment only. But, of course, the problem is since it's not in Petaluma, we don't get any of the tax
revenue.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But on the tax side, what I do hear from a lot of people is that the measure to legalize marijuana in California might have gone a little too far, and it's encouraging a lot of underground sales because the taxes are so high. And I just wonder if you had any comments on that.
Well, between the cost of compliance with all the rules and regulations, just general cost of doing business in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
Land is very expensive here.
Yeah.
And then these taxes at the local and state level, and then the federal issue where you can't write off many of your expenses because it's federally not recognized as legal.
Right.
It's still a Schedule One drug.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Crazy.
It's ridiculous, but it is what it is. So, I mean, you have people that can't write off their cost of doing business. So,
right.
I mean, the squeeze is on, to say the least.
There's
the black market is thriving, or the gray market, refer to it as, you know.
But there are a lot of people out there, like myself, that would rather pay the extra cost, know what they're getting, it's been tested, no pesticides.
Especially
that means a lot to a lot of people.
Especially if it's one of those vape cartridges, you don't want to get those
in an
unregulated manner, I suppose.
But, you know, there are unfortunately patients out there that have gotten kind of squeezed.
Yeah.
You know, they're not able to work or not able to,
that's the problem, is that, you know, it was presented, you know, for medical use, and yet the people that really need it for medical use are being squeezed. And, you know, you start looking at people's monthly income, and then they're supposed to be able to supply themselves with marijuana at what, 26% tax rate. I mean, it's
The tax rate is different for those who are medical card.
That's right.
You get a break.
Right, so that you do get a break. I mean, it's not a lot, but
what is the tax relative to, say, if you go buy a beer? It's higher, isn't it?
It's much higher.
Oh, yeah.
That's wrong.
And there's prescriptive taxes on the grower, and at the different levels of distribution as well. So there's all these like inside taxes before it actually even appears on a dispensary shelf.
Right.
You know, and the state is taxing by the ounce. So it's like it's the most overregulated plant in the universe, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Well, things will probably soften up, I imagine, if it does become federally legalized.
If we get some changes at the federal government.
Yeah.
The state, you know, program is what it is because voters approved it. So in order to get that change, we've got to go back to the voters to change it. And asking voters to say no on a sin tax is kind of – or, like, roll back a sin tax is kind of interesting. You know, like, that could be a
sin tax. What an interesting word.
Yeah. Kind of like a little way to put it. Alcohol, cigarettes.
It should
be
consistent. I mean, if it should be no higher than the tax on alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
And it probably would have passed just as easily that way.
Yeah. I don't. One of our guests said once, you know, you get a bunch of people on alcohol, they might have a brawl. Get a bunch of people on pot, they might form a band.
So it's like a musician.
Yeah, well, I resemble that remark.
Well.
I think it's worth mentioning that are we going to call you Dennis or Denny today on air?
I answer to both.
Okay.
So whatever
you're Denny to us.
Denny.
But I do see online you use Dennis Rosati Jr.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
The longest business
card. So now everybody knows
Denny.
You are both. They know you're AKA now.
Yes.
But Denny is the principal officer of Rosati Consulting, which is a public affairs and political campaign consulting firm here in Sonoma County. And you're working on some stuff, aren't you?
I've got a few different projects. Yeah, at any given moment. But
what do you got going?
I mentioned the Kenwood Dispensary. That's an exciting one.
Yeah.
I was the former executive director of. I am the former executive director of Conservation Action.
Yes.
And I've been helping them for the last 6 months, kind of in the background, to be a bridge between their former executive director and whoever they hire next. So I've gotten to play a little bit on the environmental policy side again, which has been fun. You know, through that endeavor, I've got local coastal plan I've been looking at. It's up for review right now at the county. That's our document that guides how we're going to regulate and deal with the coast and coastal activity.
Development or what coastal activities?
All sorts of any kind of development.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, if you want to put any shovel in the ground for any purpose on the coast, you've basically got to look at the coastal plan, unless you're going to plant like a, you know, just a small plant in your yard.
Right, right.
Even some of those you have to, have to be careful.
Yeah.
They're, you know, obviously very concerned about Measure M renewal, which is the county quarter cent sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
That's looking to be put on the ballot this coming fall.
And Measure M is?
That's for roads.
Right.
That was highway. Initially, it was passed in 2004. It was a 20-year measure. It's going to expire in 2024, or 2025, I guess, is the technical date of expiration. And that was a quarter cent, raises about $22, $23 million a year. 40% of those funds initially were to go to highway widening. 5% were for SMART. This is before we got the SMART tax passed for its own tax. And there's a number of other categories, buses, you know, bikeways, right. Local roads, 20% with local roads as well.
Sounds like there's going to be several tax measures on the ballot.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that? When you load up too many, a lot of times people just vote them all down.
There can be that voter fatigue
piece,
just from a consulting perspective.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I'm not technically being paid or working on any of these campaigns, so I'm pretty free to say what I want.
Cool.
I have my personal opinions, and I have some that I'm supporting and others that I'm a little more hesitant about. But, SMART is something I personally worked for really hard back in 2006. The first time it was on the ballot, we got super close. We didn't quite convince enough of the Marin County folks to say yes, and then we came back in 2008 with an even broader coalition, and we're able to get over that two-thirds threshold. Really difficult to get over the two-thirds threshold for anything, so you've really got to have a super majority of the population supporting whatever it is you're proposing to voters. So that's where you get into the kind of problems when you have multiple big-picture tax items on the ballot at the same time, and voters start asking questions, they start thinking, wow, what does this mean to my pocket? What does this mean when I go buy gas?
Right.
What does this mean if I have to buy a car this year? That kind of thing. SMART, the good news for SMART is it's a renewal.
Mm-hmm.
It's an existing tax
right.
percent that we pay. This is Measure I.
So it's not a new tax, it's just extending it.
It's extending it.
And my understanding is even if we didn't extend it, it would keep going.
That's right.
So it's really the main thing is about securing better loan rate.
That's right.
Yeah, and funding so we can go ahead and complete it because what was really known about this original SMART tax is the quarter cent was not going to do what we needed it to do. And I don't believe that the downturn of the economy, that was part of it, but it was really not enough. But the threshold was not a half a cent. Threshold was a quarter. And so I think it's really important for people to understand that it's, there's so much discussion about misuse of the money. I have a neighbor yesterday asking me, well, I want to know exactly how much diesel fuel they've has cost.
Mm.
You know, so he wants all these details.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my feeling is that 101 cannot be widened past three lanes.
Mm-hmm.
We have put a huge investment into this train, and we're finally to Larkspur.
Yeah.
And it's very short-sighted thinking not to extend this so we can actually get to Cloverdale because cost of living up there is a lot less. A lot of people want to live, you know, work down in the Sonoma County area. And we need to provide some type of transportation to get cars off the road because it's just going to fill up again.
Yeah. Plus, it's a speedier way to get to work. If you live in Cloverdale and you work down here in Petaluma, 101's not the place you want to sit for hours.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't have cars also. My daughter, for example, she's taking classes at the Santa Rosa JC.
Right.
She gets up early in the morning. She walks all the way to the SMART station. She gets on that train. It takes her up to Santa Rosa, and then she walks from there to school. It works great. She doesn't have to have a car, and we don't have to drive her.
Well, I'm just wondering if the SRJC board is behind this, because I think it is a direct connection, and they should be behind it.
Mm.
And so I'm wondering, are they going to be asking city councils and, you know, mayors and councils to be supporting this? And I'm not really seeing this. I'm seeing bits and pieces, you know, that one person might support it, but I'm not hearing from the rest of the councils. And I know for Petaluma, as an example, they're going to be discussing dredging on Monday night. And it's a mini dredge. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, Jared Huffman was actually in Petaluma for a town hall. And his comment on the dredging was, we will see in a month. But in the meantime, the city council is going to be discussing this on Monday, using about $2 million of public funds to do a mini dredge.
And that's at the Petaluma
and
River.
And that's at the Petaluma, River. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the comments have been, for as long as I've been following this, 20-some-odd years, oh, well, we bring $500,000 in a year in a tax base. Well, I don't buy that, never have bought it. Now, all of a sudden, it went up to, like, 1.5 million of voters coming
Who's doing
up.
Doing that study?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, well, they're kind of pulling it out of an orifice. Somebody.
Yeah.
Well, there must be some basis for it, right?
Well, no, there has never been a real basis for it, because I asked for the information years ago on the 500,000 and never really got that information.
So they just say 500,000, they don't actually specify.
They said it for years, and then all of a sudden it went up to a million, now 1.5 million. Well,
is this the city saying
this? This is the city is saying this.
Right.
And so my going back to Measure I and the SMART train, if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck to get people to come into your community and actually spend dollars, you get people from Marin County or Santa Rosa or anywhere that this get on the SMART train and you can stop in Petaluma. And I'm looking at this as a revenue enhancer,
absolutely,
not as a negative, where putting $2 million into a mini dredge to dredge the marina, which the city is still has never paid that debt to the state back, because we've been in debt for 30 years already with the state almost on the marina debt. They want to go ahead and dredge the marina to bring boats in. Well, my question is, how many boats are you going to bring in? How much are the slips? How is this going to be paid back? And maybe we should wait to hear from Jared Huffman. But I just don't really want to go in the direction of how much money boats bring in, because Measure I, the SMART train, is going to bring in more revenue to all of our communities on the line.
Yeah.
You know, so I look at it as a
It enables the transit-oriented development model that our general plan has called for since the mid-70s.
Well, exactly. That's what we've been calling for all these years. And I'm still hearing the same thing. Well, it doesn't pencil out. We can't do this. We can't do five stories. We can only do three stories. And, you know, we're kind of in 1962 mode, and it's really 2020. And also at Monday's council meeting, they're going to be talking about the Eastside Corona Station. And there's a big circumference, a half a mile around of each SMART station they want to develop. And we don't have a master plan for the Corona Station.
I keep hearing somebody's computer go off. Is that yours?
No, it's not mine. I keep hearing it, too.
Oh, really?
It sounds like a submarine.
In the depths or something here.
It's
okay.
Every time
wait a second. I need to turn my volume
down. Yes, thank you.
I apologize.
All right.
Okay, I apologize.
We're being tracked on sonar.
Yeah.
You hear certain pings. If you're in a submarine, and that's exactly what the things were like, and then you would determine if another submarine and what kind of a submarine it was, because I did this at when I was back in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian, and you got to put headsets on, and you got to listen to these pings, and I didn't miss one ping.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'd be good to tell whichever one it was, but now I'm older, and I'm sure I would miss them all. That's why young people get into the service and not older people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went and saw Dr. Ping.
Oh, did you?
To check out my eyes.
Oh, really?
It's like a real joke he made right away. He's like, I'm Dr. Ping. Don't worry. You're in the right place.
That's cute.
Yeah.
So back to Measure I. I just think it is supporting SMART is really good for economics in the community. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a 30-year extension of the initial 20-year tax. We're 10 years into that tax now. So this would basically sign us up for 40 years of SMART. We're 2 years into operation of the train.
Exactly.
We've continued to grow the system. I know you said the economic downturn wasn't that big of a deal, but it was actually a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took their projections for revenue and basically cut them, I think it was by like 35% or something. The sales tax dollars went way down in the Great Recession.
Right. You're correct on that, but
where it really hurt them is in the bond what do you call it? They go out and like bond the sales tax.
Exactly.
They take the sales tax and bond it against loans from banks.
Right.
And they got poor ratings because they didn't have as much money coming in,
mm-hmm.
which is why they ended up in this kind of jam. And it's super awkward to go out and tell voters, I want you to renew me so we can refinance debt. I mean, that's not like the best story you could
ever
tell.
But that is the
right.
But it's the reality.
Right.
Yeah. The system is working. They've shown through ridership numbers, which they were a little reticent to give, I think partly because the district was it's brand new. You know, it's only been up 2 years.
Now, Janice and I had this conversation yesterday about transparency and, you know, how the press Democrats have been reporting, well, smart, they won't disclose their ridership data and...
but they did.
Yeah, they eventually did. Yeah. They eventually did. But...
you know, we expect things to happen in the moment these days.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little longer to get...
Yeah. So it was just kind of blown out of proportion.
It's like when a client of mine and I do polling for clients and I get the raw results back, the client always wants to know, like, what's the result?
Right.
Exactly.
And if I give them that raw data, that doesn't necessarily tell the tale or it doesn't help them necessarily interpret what that data means.
Okay. So
it takes time to get from point A to point B.
So this was just the press doing a little spin.
Call it spin, call it people just being impatient.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not saying, like, that's necessarily their fault. It's just the world we live in these days, you know? Everyone wants everything now.
Right, exactly.
So people should understand, if we don't renew it, it's still going to go for another 10 years.
That's right.
So really, there's no difference in terms of what we're paying. We're going to be paying that anyway.
That's right.
But the bonding capacity is the problem.
And I actually think that's how it should be sold, to be honest, because the problem is if they don't renew that, the cost of borrowing goes much higher, and then they're going to have to make cuts to service.
Yeah.
And that's going to, of course, be a death spiral.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Yeah. Well, on Friday, there's a discussion at the fairgrounds from 9 to noon. And the Petaluma Fairgrounds is really talking about what to do with the future of the fairgrounds. So the city owns this property of 40 acres, part of our town. It's been leased to the fair for $1 a year forever. And one of the problems is, as the lease goes down, they have no bonding capacity to improve anything at the fairgrounds. And so it's kind of the same with SMART. You just have to be able to have enough time to have enough bonding capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by years. And 10 years is just not enough time that you're going to get a good rate and you're going to get the money that you need. And that's really the name of the game. It's about how do you bond. But I want to talk about the Measure M, which probably won't be called Measure M, but it is the 101 widening to continue the road tax.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also a quarter-cent sales tax, and that would be just an extension. But this is in perpetuity. This extension is what
they're
looking at.
How long an extension?
In perpetuity, forever.
Oh.
They're not looking at ever bringing this back to the voter. So it's a forever tax. Mm-hmm. And so anytime a developer needs a roadway done, where do you think that money's going to come from? It's going to come from this tax. It's going to be written so loosely, I believe, that it is going to be a developer's dream to have this tax in perpetuity.
Hmm.
And, you know, yes, we'll get the roads fixed. But in last week's Argus Courier, Kathy Miller, a council member who's on the Sonoma County Transportation Authority, she said that this money would be going to fix the roads in our town. And I happen to have the list of Petaluma's list for the extension of Measure M, and it is not the roads in front of your home. It is special projects, and Rainier is one of them. So does the entire, all the cities in the county want to spend $80 million on Rainier? And so... there is special projects here, and it's not about the road in front of our home. And I really resent when we're starting to push a tax measure that right off the bat, the truth is tainted.
But isn't it true that much of the repaving that's happened downtown was a result of Measure M? That's what we were told.
Lot of that was the gas tax.
Special...
A lot of it was the gas tax. And plus the city was sued. And so they had to do these projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of it is the gas tax. So the gas tax will basically go to fixing maybe the street in front of your home,
mm-hmm.
which is never going to be enough money over the long term. So, and I just don't support a forever tax. Yeah. And especially one on transportation, when a community is growing the way it is, and I believe developers will love that.
Here's the good news, Janice, as you probably know. This is all still being figured out. It's not set in stone yet.
Right.
And there are open meetings where you can go and kind of give your opinion and rally your base and your troops and whomever to come in and tell them what you think. For example, as I mentioned, they had a 40% in the last measure, I believe, for highway widening. There was definitely highway widening money. I'm pretty sure it was 40% of the measure. That measure money is all going to be reprogrammed because we've basically completed that third lane, Windsor to the county line, or we're in the process of completing it. And they've come ahead of schedule, and they were able to leverage other funds, something to the effect of like 5-1 or something. So we've actually brought a lot of other money in from outside to get that done. The challenge to us, I think, as a community, is to figure out how do we want to reprogram those dollars. What's the new expenditure plan look like? I've been on a thread with a number of other labor, environmental, and transit, and climate change organizations, saying that they think we should have 60% of those funds going into alternatives to highways. You know, mm-hmm. we should be looking at buses and bus rapid transit, and feeders into smart bicycle pathways. Pedestrian friendly accommodations on our city streets. So there would be some money in there for city streets in that context, right?
Exactly. And so I'm actually going to be meeting with Susan Gorin and talking with her about
county supervisor.
The county supervisor, and specifically on this tax. And I am planning on going to these meetings and actually writing some letters, because last night I was going through an old document from SCTA that I did a Public Record Act request on, and it's talking about just the widening of the freeway, how that increased flooding in the Petaluma area, the Corona Reach, and with more roads, we're going to have we're going to have more and more flooding. And these are documents that are coming from Caltrans. I'm not making these documents up.
Right. And in case anybody's wondering what SCTA is, Sonoma County Transportation Authority.
Yes.
We're so bad with our acronyms.
I know.
All right.
But I want to see the bigger picture. And Denny, I appreciate your knowledge on this, because you're much more in the know.
I'm just sort of showing up.
But I trust you, and I really appreciate
it. Yeah. I mean, I heard about a quote-unquote straw man out to give them a starting point from the SCTA. They have a Transit Technical Advisory Committee, and they were looking at 40% for fixing roads, 23% for corridor improvements, such as infrastructure improvements, complete streets, downtown housing support. I'm not sure what that exactly means. That could be your red herring concern, or blue herring.
Yeah, right.
What's the real one? The real one's a blue herring, right? Transit access, safety, evacuation routes. 18% additional bus services, 11% new bikeways, 2% bus passes, 2% zero emission buses and charging stations, 2% enhanced transportation options the last mile, 2% technology to move people. So, I mean, you add those numbers up, and it's definitely not the 60-40 split that the other folks are looking for. But, you know, these things have to be a compromise, I think, on some level. You've got to get something that gets the entirety of the community, the business, the construction, the environmental, the labor interests all kind of singing the same tune, or at least not totally throwing grenades at each other. So it's pretty early on, even though it's January and we haven't until this July.
I've been working on it for a long time.
Oh, it's been working on it for a while, sure, but
yeah, and I think there's. I'm seeing a list. I'm seeing Petaluma's list, and there's a list of like 6 items, and
I haven't seen a list of projects yet.
Well, I got it from SCTA. I had to email them and say, "Hey, I'd like to see the list because I can't get it from my own city." So, and the list did not look like a list that I would want to be supporting.
What do you think about Measure G?
Measure G.
Fire tax.
Yeah, 0.5-cent sales tax, support countywide fire services that have been stretched thin by recent wildfires and efforts to consolidate departments. Measure is expected to raise $51 million annually, which will be distributed among the various county fire departments. Petaluma Fire Department is in line for $1.3 million annually, or about 3% of the revenue. It says this is a sticking point for some Petaluma leaders dealing with public safety budget shortfalls.
Well, I actually met with David Rabbit and talked about Measure G, and my one of my big concerns was pension liability and what's going to happen in 20 years.
Mm.
And he just basically said, you know, well, you don't really need to worry about that. Worry about it in 20 years. And I'm thinking, no. That's what happened with 3% at 50.
Yeah.
Go ahead and worry about it in 20 years, and in 2022, the city of Petaluma is going to be in the red, and 3% at 50 is the pension for police and fire. So we have two more years before we're in the red. And so, no, I don't want to wait 20 years. I want to know what that pension liability is. And then I'm talking to other people in rural areas that voted themselves in a $300 fire tax, such as Rancho Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're now paying $300 more in their taxes because they chose to, because they wanted fire protection. So they would be also part of this half-cent sales tax, plus the $300.
Which is in their homeowner's tax.
And so it starts really adding up.
Yeah.
And in Petaluma, as an example, we need four fire stations, according to the fire chief. Well, at $10 million a station. So at $10 million a station, that's $40 million right there, and we know that it's going to cost more than that.
He wants four more additional?
No, he wants to redo all of our fire stations and add an extra one on.
Okay, so...
So we would
update
have...
Update the existing three and add one new one.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, at $1.3 million per year, that is not going to work for the city of Petaluma.
Not really.
No, that might do one salary. And so where was the openness with this group? And this is what I'm hearing from other people, is that the people that put this measure together really did not reach out to the communities.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
I didn't even know it was in the making.
Oh, I did.
Well,
I did.
What I know, and I can say that from some place of... authority, I guess, or knowledge. I'm not working on this campaign necessarily, but I worked on three fire district taxes last year, special taxes in the West Sonoma County area of Grayton, their Fire Protection District, Gold Ridge Fire Protection District, and Occidental Fire Protection District. And they all had, again, local parcel taxes that they proposed to voters, which were basically like return to source local districts. So all those were between $200 and $250 for residential. And then for commercial, they were $300 plus 14 cents per square foot. So it was progressive in terms of business. If you got a bigger space, right, hypothetically, you're making more money, you can afford to pay more. Those all passed. So those voters are now paying more. Through that process of working with those fire chiefs, I worked in Monterio as well in 2018 to help them get their fire tax passed. It was a $200 parcel tax. Through that process, I learned a whole lot about the system of fire services delivery in the county and how amazingly synchronized, in particular, our West County and Sonoma Valley, just because they're the ones I had the most contact with, are. They basically operate as if they are one unit in the West County,
okay.
And they provide mutual aid automatically to each other. So when there's a structure fire in Occidental responds first. Grayton automatically gets notified, Gold Ridge, their neighboring districts, in other words, and they all kind of come out to back each other up. Most of these fire departments are volunteer, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Ridge does have some staff, Bodega Bay has some staff, and then Russian River and the Russian River Valley has some staff. So, you know, you can imagine how critical that mutual aid is, because if it's during the day and people are working,
yeah.
You know, and you've got 25 total volunteer firefighters and 23 of them are working outside of the district.
Right.
That means you got two people at home. You need that mutual aid to come in and help. They, in terms of coordination, have been working for 3 years on creating the plan that Measure G basically puts before voters. And they probably have another 3 years to go to really figure out all the different details. The problem is we don't have 3 years to wait in order to have mutual aid coming and the support coming in these departments to react to wildfire the way we're seeing it now. I mean, I think we just hit a critical point with this wildfire phenomenon that's it's not really going to let up, you know, because we've suppressed for 70, 100 years in a natural wildfire landscape. We've not allowed them to burn, right? So we've got all this fuel built up. We've got this phenomenon of climate change, having stronger events of rain, of drought, of intense heat in the summer. And we've got all these people living directly in these fire zones, right?
They're also rebuilding in these fire zones.
They are, you know, right, which is a whole different issue, which we can get into, but I think in terms of, like, evaluating the actual tax itself and what the funds are going to be used for, it's tough. I mean, because here's the other piece. This doesn't go away. There's no sunset date on this tax. So it's a half-cent sales tax into perpetuity until voters decide that they want to rescind it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could call it a forever tax, right? Because it is.
Right.
The reason it's structured that way is you can't just go out and hire firefighters and have a system that's depending on these people to be there to protect and serve and all that stuff and, you know, and show up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the tax goes away and all of a sudden you have no fire protection left. It's a really difficult issue. We dealt with this with the parcel taxes I worked on because, you know, voters want some certainty. They want to be able to...
Mm-hmm.
The best way I could describe it to them or argue the case is that this is a local tax. You have a local county, Gold Ridge Fire Board. You've got a local Creighton Fire Board. You can go in there at any given time when they have open public meetings every month and tell them your concerns and elect those people or unelect them when the poll time comes. This is a little different in that it's a countywide sales tax that does get sent into a county coffer that is designated for redistribution to these, you know, 35 odd fire districts and fire service providers. So I'm a yes on this one, as you can probably tell by the way I'm talking. But the one thing that makes me a little uncomfortable is there's a clause in here that says fire agencies shall receive the funds allocated in the expenditure plans if those agencies work towards consolidation in order to achieve efficient, effective, and sustainable services in the county. Well, who doesn't want efficient services and you know.
Mm-hmm. What do they mean by consolidation?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's interpretive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where they say, you know, when I see it, I'll know it, that sort of thing, you know. But it's just a little awkward because you may have a situation where you've got to I think in general consolidation needs to happen. That's the trend. That's where it's going, and it's going to continue. At the same time, I don't think you want to force people into a situation where they're just because they're neighbors geographically that they are forced to form one agency when maybe that's not the best fit for them. Maybe mm-hmm. there's a different way for them to go.
You know, I'm going to go back to the pension liability.
Sorry.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and so I appreciate this. The reason I'm talking about the pension liability is because when I was on the city council, I dealt with this 3% at 50. And what happens every time there is a negotiation, either the police or fire, they will say, well, we need competitive salaries. And so then they go to a city, they'll look at Novato as an example. Yeah. Okay, Novato pays this much. Well, if I don't get paid that much in Petaluma, then I'm going to go ahead and leave and go to another city to work because I want to make more money. And that's what happens every single time. And it's happening again. The other day, Gabe Kearney in the newspaper or at the council meeting said the exact same thing. It is the same language that's been said since 2000 or before then. And so that's what's going to happen with this, is that you have a half a cent sales tax, and what the fire people do is they look at how much money is there, how much I'm going to get for my pension, and that's what's going to come. And that's exactly what happened with Petaluma. It is still happening to the exact same language that a council member is using today is the same language that was used in 2000 and before.
And the language being that
we have to have competitive because Novato pays this much money and we pay this much money.
Well, it's also more expensive to live in Novato.
Well, exactly. And so they used to use Pleasanton was always an example.
But don't they also pay people more in Santa Rosa?
They do.
Yes.
It's the highest in the county.
Yeah. And so I'm just saying the pension liability is going to hit. And when I'm watching the city of Petaluma going bankrupt or, you know, going in the red in 2022, and then you're looking at all these different sales tax, it really starts adding up.
Mm-hmm.
What is the end result in 20 years? I don't want to look at tomorrow. I want to see 20 years from now what's going to happen. And the pension liability is going to be a real problem. And we're talking about this all the time. Well, if we don't do smart, it's really about the future of... It's always about the future for me. And it's an important question. I appreciate your support for this, because if it wasn't for the firefighters And the way they put the plan together for the, was it the recent fire was the Tubbs fire?
Kincaid.
The Kincaid fire, I'm sorry. Windsor would have burnt down. The town of Windsor wouldn't be there. So I don't want to make it that I am not aware of the importance of firefighting and really having a master plan, and you're looking at the winds this time and what direction the winds are, what towns we need to protect. I really do support that, but it's really the long term that I don't want to sell something to somebody, and then in 20 years, it starts in 5 or 10 years, and it's that's a problem for me. As far as consolidation, I do think consolidation is a good idea, and Petaluma has really consolidated, I believe, with Wilmar and with other rural stations. And volunteers is not the way to go anymore.
I've heard concerns in West County about this exact issue you're talking about.
Yeah.
With the pensions directly related to consolidation.
Hmm.
Because right now, they're all independent fire departments out there.
Right.
So they don't want to get involved in the whole, you know, rigmarole of the, you know, pension liability and bloody, bloody,
but
blah.
But you sign up for it. This is what you sign up for. If this tax passes, that's
I think from their perspective, because they have been small and able to be kind of nimble, and the ones that do have staff have their own pension liabilities, and they're taking care of it, you know. So there's some hesitation, I think, to get involved in this bigger
system. Well, Rancho Adobe, I think they really, Leland Fishman was actually on the board at the time, and he was really looking at the pension liability.
Yeah.
And, you know, looked at that, and I think theirs was maybe 2 point, I don't know what they negotiated, but it was less than 3%.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it financially was a much better, but...
I think regionalization is probably a more realistic outcome.
Yeah.
You know, I could see some departments like, you know, Goldridge, Occidental, Grayton, Bodega, you know, kind of coming together, because they're already... basically acting as one in many ways.
Right, right.
You know?
How might this impact homeowner fire insurance? I mean, I would think that the insurance companies are looking at supporting this.
We looked at that in the parcel taxes.
Yeah.
The assessment that they make as insurance companies is pretty complicated, but it can bring down the cost to homeowners.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more in terms of it not going down, but them jacking it up. If it didn't pass,
I don't know about that because it's not there now.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
I was talking with somebody that lives.
Then it would bring it down, especially if you live closer to a fire station that all of a sudden now has staff.
I'm sorry, did I say passed? I meant failed.
Yeah.
I meant failed. If it fails, the insurance company would jack up the rates.
No, because there's nothing there now.
Okay.
This tax doesn't exist right now.
Right.
It's a brand new proposal.
Right, but given the history.
So if they were to get that money and they would have actually put more staffing in, they could then lower response time.
Exactly. It would go down.
That could bring your insurance down.
Yes, okay. Gotcha.
If it doesn't get implemented or passed, then there's nothing new to add, so the rates would hypothetically stay the same.
Okay.
Maybe they'd naturally go up because of the wildfire phenomenon we're experiencing. You know?
That's happening. Yeah,
that's what I was alluding to.
So. Well, I lived at the Apple store not long ago, and I was talking to this couple, and they lived in Marquess Springs, and their house had burnt down, and they rebuilt their house. They were paying $10,000 a year for fire insurance. I mean, that's a heck of a lot of money.
That's a lot.
Well, it really makes you rethink the idea of living in areas that are so prone to fires.
That's it.
Yeah.
And continue to develop in those areas.
Yeah. Well, Denny, I'll keep an open mind with this, but I still think the pension liability is a huge one.
Yeah, and I deflected the question that Jason just brought back up, which was people are rebuilding in these fire zones.
Yeah,
right.
Partly because I think that's a whole different issue from the delivery of fire service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it definitely impacts when you're trying to evacuate an area, how many people you have in it. But, you know, I live in West County. I live in the city of Sebastopol.
Right.
The entire West County was evacuated. Yeah. It's like, how are we going to tell people they can't live in their towns? You know what I mean?
I
don't know where it starts and stops.
Right.
I do think it's important for us as a community to look at these things and consider them.
Yeah.
And, you know, boy, it is so tough to tell someone because you all, I'm sure, know how mortgages work and how insurance programs work and how expensive land is and how limited land is in California, in Sonoma County. How do you look at someone whose house just burned down and say, sorry, you're not allowed to rebuild? Good luck. You know, figure it out.
Yeah, and it goes back further than that. It's like they shouldn't have probably built in the first place.
In the first place. That was poor planning 50 years ago.
Because Fountain Grove, that area had a history.
Actually, it was during the Sharon Wright time.
Fountain Grove was 30 years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't 50 years ago. It was 30 years ago. Yeah.
I don't want to run out of time because I want to touch on the... The last time you were here, Denny, we were talking about the parks tax. What was it? It was M?
Yeah, also major M.
That was right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes. And you told us...
I don't know the tax guy.
you told us, when you explained to us this oversight committee that was going to keep an eye on these funds and make sure that the cities were doing what they were supposed to be doing as far as spending those funds. What's going on?
I have a question about this add on to it because
I'm looking at Janet's cards or hands.
Monday night when they're going to be talking about all of a sudden finding $2 million for a mini dredge, Measure M money is part of that. So they're taking Measure M money that should be fixing our parks and making sure that they're maintained.
Well, it's a water park.
Yeah. The money that got reallocated to or redispersed to the cities through Measure M, to the Parks Fund Measure M, was pretty broad. It was recreation and parks and, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with the boat, the float house thing that there's going to be in the Turning Basin.
But that will get reviewed by the Oversight Committee. That committee, my understanding is it has been appointed. They have met at least once, if not twice.
Okay.
I honestly haven't been to either of the sessions, but...
Because this is what weighs on the voters' minds, is you say that you're going to keep an eye on things, and then all of a sudden the wolves got all the chickens. So,
I know
the boxes.
I know how that one goes.
Well,
that's
a 10-year quarter, 8% sales tax.
Yeah.
So those cities would be wise to be very prudent on how they handle those funds.
Exactly.
So when they come back to voters, which I assume they will, you know, to say, hey, look, we've got some wins here, and we think you should keep this thing going.
When does it expire?
It went into effect in 2019, so 2029.
Yeah.
It's right about the same time that the open space district quarter cent sales tax expires in 2030. And I think they'll be back to voters probably 2026, 2028 is my guess for reauthorization.
Because it's really all about bonding so you can do projects.
Right.
And if you don't have a long enough time on these tax measures, you can't bond for good rates.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, also, quickly on the ballot, it's going to be about talking about Prop 13, which we can talk about another time, but they're trying to repeal Prop 13.
Just a portion of it.
A portion of it. Property owners would be preserved, but
commercial
over $3 million dollars would be assessed at today's market.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of confusion with homeowners because they seem to think what they're hearing is Prop 13 is going to be gone from my home. And it's really not about houses. It's about commercial properties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times these commercial properties are land leased. So somebody owns the land, you put a shopping center on top of that, and so you're paying really low taxes.
So the only voters who are going to benefit from this are people who own commercial property.
Well, they're not going to
benefit. No, they're not going to benefit.
Well, they'll benefit knowing that they're helping society.
Putting more into our schools so we don't have to have any bond measures for schools. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing is when you have a bond measure now, instead of like a tax measure, you cannot get those off your tax base. So that's why they've gone to bond measures versus tax and other means.
I was just going to offer that I was a school board member for 6 years in West County on the Harmony Union School Board. So, you know, Prop 13 has caused a lot of problems for schools and school funding.
Yeah.
I was tasked with, you know, trying to oversee this budget that was depending on how many butts we had in the seats each day.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the winter, kids get sick. You know,
right.
But our classroom.
Roads
closed. I'm going to give a shout out to Haley Rossetti at Apple Blossom Elementary right now. as well as Laura Rossetti.
Oh, that's sweet.
Laura Rossetti and her buddy Addie this morning were very excited that I was going to be on the radio.
Oh, cool.
I doubt they've tuned in this entire time, but sorry I didn't.
You should have said that early on.
They can listen to the archive.
Yeah,
there you go.
Go to the website next time.
What minute are we at exactly?
That's always fun.
Anyways, I was on the school board, right? And, you know, right now in West County, the high school is asking for a parcel tax. It's an extension plus a small increase. They're going to fund programs and teachers' salaries with that because that's what we have to do. You know, we can't keep up. The local elementary school district out there is asking for a bond for facilities because they've got some historic buildings and they've got things they need to deal with roofs leaking and solar panels they want to put on, which I think is very innovative and exciting and saves the school money, but it's like we got to pay for it somehow.
People don't realize how much money was taken away from the schools on this. They really, it's just not really understood, and how much more funding will go into our schools by just that change alone.
I think of myself as a pretty intelligent human being. It took me a good year and a half to figure out the budget for our school that was educating 270 kids. I mean, it was it's so complicated. It's
Yeah. So you're on there for 8 years. Well, isn't your wife
Six years.
Isn't your wife on a board?
My wife is on the West County High School Board.
Yeah.
She's on her fourth term.
Yeah.
She's been on for...
four terms already? Wow.
She's into her... She just started her fourth term, so it's been 13 years.
Big shout out to Kelly.
Yeah. Kelly Noe.
Yeah.
West County High School Board.
Do you guys ever see each other?
We do, believe it or not. Our daughter does ski team now, so we're forced to sit in a car with each other every weekend.
Wait,
for the next
how old is she?
She's nine. Yeah, ski development.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
We're
blessed for that opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. I just want to make a comment. I am registering voters at Santa Rosa Junior College at the Petaluma campus every Wednesday, and February 12th is the last day. And then we'll be back registering people again for the November ballot, but this is for the March ballot.
Right.
And so it's really important that people register, and if you are registered as an independent or no party preference or decline to state, you will not be eligible to vote for the president. You have to ask to ask for a Democrat or Republican ballot, and then you can, you know, without re-registering, do that. But people need to make sure they can contact the county, find out how they're registered, and determine if they want to re-register as a Democrat or a Republican.
It's complicated.
Or just ask for the proper ballot.
Yeah, it's complicated.
People don't know that.
If you're a Republican, apparently you can't do that. You actually have to re-register. If you're a Democrat and you're an NPP, no party preference, you can ask for a Democratic ballot.
Where did you read this? Because I've got to get this down.
It's online. I'll send you a link. I posted it on my Facebook page a while back.
Okay.
Say independent, because we don't actually have an independent party as such on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think we do. They get confused and they choose American independent, which is like a libertarian thing. So if people that want to, what they think of being not independent, it's no party preference. That's the official thing.
Right.
And if you do want to vote in the primary as a Democrat, you can if you're no party preference. But you do have to return the card that they send you in the mail if you're voting by mail to get a Democratic ballot. Or when you go in and vote, you ask for a Democratic ballot. So where people get tripped up is they forget about the card, they don't turn it in, and then it's too late.
Because people are getting cards right now in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. So if you intend to vote by mail and you insist on remaining NPP and you want to be able to vote in the Democratic primary, you do need to return that card. If not, just show up, go to your polling place, and ask for a ballot. Simplest thing is just register as a Democrat, but everyone wants to do that for whatever reason.
Can you put the link that you're going to send to Janice up on our website?
That would be great.
Okay,
but it really is simpler. If you want to vote in the Democratic primary, just register as a Democrat. It's not going to kill you. You can unregister after, but come on. Don't make it so hard on yourself.
I was declined to state for years, and I finally just gave in.
That's like, what's the deal, man? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, it becomes complicated.
Inspiration for becoming a Democrat, just watch Adam Schiff's. I never give politicians out of my area money, and I gave him money.
I got to say,
I'm so excited about
that. So patient and keeping his cool.
Yes.
And such a class act.
Yeah,
so
very really classy.
Yeah.
Well, once again, we have run out of time, and it was great. Thank you, Denny, for being here today. We've been talking with Denny Rosati from Rosati Consulting, and we'd love to have you back again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
We're moving into election year. So
maybe closer to the elections to talk about these ballot measures because, you know, I really do listen about what you said on the fire, and I'll certainly do more research.
Yeah, we could get one of the chiefs to come down, too, if that was something of interest to you. You know,
that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I am Cindy Thomas. I'm Cindy Thomas. I co-host Inside Petaluma every Thursday from, That was my show last night.
Friday.
Friday from 11 to noon. I do this all the time.
Well, you got two
Friday, 11 to noon, Inside Petaluma with my co-hosts, Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson. Thank you, Denny, for being here.
And if people want to join PCA, how can they do that?
They can go to pca.tv, or they can go to kpca.fm.
Or they can show up.
Yeah, or you could just show up at 205 Keller Street and say, hey, I want to be a member. And we'll hook you up.
And have your own show.
Our website will hold the recording of this show in a day or two. Jason will have it up. That website is insidepetaluma.com. Our Facebook page, KPCA Inside Petaluma. What else? Go and like us there.
Yeah, we like to be liked.
We like to be liked. We're very like people. All right, so I will see you next Friday.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks.